I'm sure that my brother has prepared a message for us this day. I would ask that you would keep him in your thoughts and your prayers so he would have the freedom to speak and the liberty to do so. So at this time, I'll give you my brother and your brother, Adam Yates.
Thank you, Gary. Good morning, brothers and sisters. And good morning to all of you who are tuning in on live streaming. I look out and I see there are a lot of people who aren't here. And so I assume that many are tuning in this morning. I want to tell you that I'm glad to be here this morning. I'm really glad that this week is over. I've had a really long week and I've been sick for about a week and a half. And even now I feel like I'm hearing through a bunch of water. My ears are all clogged up, and this entire week, you know, I've been working and I've had a bunch of call outs and things, so I've been working a ton of hours and I've been miserable, absolutely miserable. And you know, Friday morning I'd gotten off of work, got home at about 7 or so, and had laid down, and about 9:30 my phone went off. I had a call out, and I told my sergeant, I said, you know, I'm exhausted and I'm feeling terrible. I don't think I can go. And he said, you know, I have to have you. So I drug myself out and a couple hours of sleep and was out on a call out for 4 or 5 hours and just feeling miserable. And that's kind of how my week has been. I've been really just kind of a sad case. But you know, early on last week and even early in this week, when I had some moments to consider this opportunity, you know, I found that as I took time to consider the opportunity I'd have to speak to you, that I didn't feel quite so miserable. The Lord gave me some rest and some relief, and I have a message today that He's put on my heart for a couple of weeks. And so when I finally got some time to sit down last night and my head cleared a little bit, the Lord's message came to me very quickly and very easily. And I have a message to share to you this day. And, you know, I want to start, you know, obviously we are now, 18 days into the new year. And I know that when we consider the new year, you know, people always talk about resolutions and things. And, you know, I'm one of those who I've never put much stock in resolutions. And I thought they were kind of ridiculous. But, you know, more and more I think that they're important. And, you know, we think about it, we make several resolutions over the course of our life. We resolve to do something. I resolved to dedicate my life and my efforts and my heart to the Lord through the waters of baptism. I made a resolution to do so. When I sin and I ask for forgiveness, I make a resolution. I resolve to the Lord that I will no longer commit that sin again. Many of us were there a few weeks ago when we saw two of our young people resolve to dedicate their life to each other. And resolutions, I do think, are important. And it's something that we should hearken back to throughout the year. And of course, it has to be realistic and things like that, you know. But I think it's important that we set goals in our life. And that really is what a resolution is. And I want to talk about that today. What I hope that we could resolve as a group of people, and certainly this has been on my heart, you know, as I prepared this message, I've been praying about it, and I've been praying to the Lord, you know, let this message first and foremost be placed in my heart. Let this message be placed in my heart first and foremost. What I want to preach about today and the message that I hope to bring to each one of you and to me is that we consider first fruits. I don't know that I've ever considered this before, but this thought was upon my heart as I thought about the opportunity that I'd have to preach to you here. You know, my sermon today is going to be about our first fruits. And, you know, I'm going to talk a little bit about tithing, but this isn't a tithing sermon. I'm talking about, and I want us to consider what it is that we give to the Lord and how we are to consider our relationship with the Lord, in that we have a responsibility to be in His service. And what does that mean? And how is it that we do it? And so I do want to begin this morning. I want to begin in the book of Deuteronomy in the 26th chapter. In the 26th chapter of Deuteronomy. And I'm going to read this entire chapter. It's 19 verses. But I want us to consider this. Consider this commandment that the Lord gave to the people of Israel through Moses. And this is a commandment about, it says, I have little titles underneath some of the chapters, and it says Law of the Tithe. But you know, I want us to consider as we read through this, what is it that the Lord is really talking about? I'm one of those guys who I believe as I read the scriptures, I believe that they are so multifaceted, that they're parallels to many things within our life. And I want you to consider that today as we read this. So I'm going to begin in Deuteronomy in the 26th chapter, and I'm going to begin in verse 1. It says this, "And it shall be, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possess it, and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall put it in a basket, and go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. And thou shalt go to the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God that I am come into the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thy hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God." You know, I want us to consider here for just a moment. I said, I believe this is multifaceted. You know, here the Lord is talking to a group of people who at this time were wandering. And he says, you know, and he's promised them, I'm taking you to a land, a promised land, a land that flows with milk and honey. It's a place that is amazing, that's wonderful. And he's telling them, he's reminding them, when you get there, when you receive my blessing, I have a requirement of you. Verse 5, "And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, a searing and ready to perish was my father. And he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few and became there a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, with great terribleness and with signs and wonders. And he hath brought us even unto this place, and hath given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which thou, O Lord, hast given me. And thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and worship before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee, and unto thine house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you. And when thou hast made an end of the tithing of all the tithes of the increase, the third year, which is the year of tithing, and hast given it unto the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that they may eat within thy gates and be filled, then thou shalt say before the Lord thy God, I have brought away all the hallowed things out of my house, and have also given them unto the Levite and unto the stranger, to the fatherless and the widow, according to all the commandments which thou hast commanded me. I have not transgressed thy commandment, neither have I forgotten them. I have not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have I taken away aught thereof for any unclean use, nor given aught thereof for the dead. But I have hearkened unto the voice of the Lord my God, and have done according to all thou hast commanded me. Look down from thy holy habitation, from heaven, and bless thy people Israel, and the land which thou hast given us, as thou swearest unto our fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey. This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep them and do them with all thine heart and with all thine soul. Thou hast avouched to the Lord this day to be thy God, and to walk in his ways and to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments, to hearken unto his voice. And the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee, and that thou shouldst keep all his commandments, to make thee high above all nations, which he hath made in praise and in name and in honor, that thou mayest be a holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he hath spoken." You know, I considered this particular chapter as I read it, and you know, I said it, that I believe that this isn't just talking about giving a tithe. I look at this and I see, as we begin in verse 1 here and we read on down, that this really is a story of our life, is it not? Of our conversion. You know, we look at it and the Lord is saying, when you are a recipient of the blessings that I want to give to you, I want you to remember. Remember that there was a time, you know, he's talking to the people of Israel, there was a time when you were in bondage. But when you receive my blessing, you'll no longer be in bondage to those who evil entreat you. You know, I consider that in my life, you know, there was a time when I was in bondage. Bondage of sin, and not that I am completely free at this day. But you know, when I was separated from the promise of the Lord, where by my actions, thoughts, words, or deeds, whatever it was, I had separation from the Lord. But when I put those things away, I came into the promise that the Lord desired to give to me and to all those who are willing to be diligent in seeking Him. It says here that you know, as the people of Israel here, they're receiving the promise that the Lord has given, that they're supposed to take of the first fruit, of the first good things, and they're to offer it to the Lord. And they're to offer it, and when they offer it, they're to remember that they were not always free to give. That they, at one time, were slaves and had nothing to give, but now they have something that was their own, that was a promise from the Lord. And their responsibility was to give it in remembrance. Remembrance that at one time they were slaves. And they give it, and it says, and you're going to rejoice after you give that. You rejoice. You rejoice and you remember what it was. And everyone who's with you, you rejoice in the blessing that the Lord gave you. I think about this, you know, as I consider my life. You know, there is a scripture, and we're going to read it a little bit later, but, you know, King Benjamin is saying to the people, he says, we are indebted. We are indebted to God. We are indebted to Him. We owe Him. Because of the wonderful blessings that we have received, here we have a people who spent hundreds of years in bondage, and they were brought out with a mighty hand, saved from that bondage. And I do believe that's a parallel of our Christian walk. That, you know, hopefully as you sit here, you look at your life and you see where the Lord has been active and working in it and has given you blessings and has given you peace and has given you strength and has given you a husband or a wife or children or a job, success in your life, peace, happiness. Those things that you didn't have when you were in bondage to sin. And what is it that we owe Him because of those good things that He gives us? I believe very much that we have a responsibility to pay our tithing. I believe not that the Lord needs our money because He has no need for it. Doesn't matter to Him. He can accomplish His purpose, but He requires of us, as He has blessed us, He requires of. It's an acknowledgement of what He's done for us. I recognize that my job, you know, I look at my job and I see that in what I do, you know, the Lord's hand has been with me continually in safety, in direction, in opening doors and closing them. He's been with me. He paved the way for me to get this job. Everything I have, I owe to Him. And He asks very little of me. And so I would never go without paying my tithing. I've had wonderful blessings because of it. And I've shared those before. You know, times when my wife and I have paid out money for things, you know, and it really didn't matter a whole lot, but you know, we later found that same identical amount of money that we paid out that we couldn't really afford, but I did it because I felt a dedication to my dumb dog, you know, and paid out a whole lot of money for his care. It was kind of a stupid thing, you know, but later my wife found that same amount of money in her wallet. Strange. Not really, it was a blessing, and I believe it's the Lord is willing to always bless us for our obedience. And He says that. You know, we read here, and in this last parts here of the 26th chapter, He says, you know, this day the Lord thy God has commanded thee, in verse 16, to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep them, and do them with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Thou hast avouched, you have publicly proclaimed, every one of you who is here, who has entered into the waters of baptism, you publicly proclaimed that the Lord was going to be your God and you were going to walk in His judgments and His statutes, His commandments. It says, thou hast avouched to the Lord this day that He would be thy God, to walk in His ways, to keep His statutes, His commandments, His judgments, to hearken unto this voice. And it says, and the Lord hath avouched thee to be His peculiar people, His special people. You know, the Lord has promised that we would be His special people, His children, recipients of His promise to make thee high above all nations, to bless us. You know, is it strange to you when you look within our church, within this nation or in other nations, that we find people who have found joy and happiness, who have found peace, who have found success, maybe not financial success, maybe not success that the world would claim, but you know, are there those of us here who would deny the fact that the Lord has given us a joy where there may not be joy for other people who are outside of the Lord's blessing, who have not chosen to enter in? You know, He's given us, He's made us high, He's blessed us. And what do we owe Him? I truly believe that we are eternally indebted to the Lord, and that we are to bring Him our first fruits. And we're going to consider that a little bit more here, but I want to read, if you just turn over here to verse, or to chapter 28, still in Deuteronomy, chapter 28. And I want to continue reading about this. And the Lord, as He continues, you know, He promises that in our obedience, that when we show Him through our actions, through our thoughts, our hearts, that we love Him and we desire, we joy in His Word, we desire in obedience and we take joy in it, that He will bless us. And here in verse 1, chapter 28, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all His commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in thy city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and all that thou settest thy hand unto. He shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God hath given thee. And the Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto Himself, as He has sworn unto thee. If thou shalt keep His commandments, shall keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in His ways, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and shall be afraid of thee, and the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord thy God sware unto thy fathers to give to thee. The Lord shall open unto thee His good treasure, the heaven, to give rain unto thy land in His season, and to bless all the work of thy hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord thy God shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. And if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to do, to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from the words which I command thee this day to the right hand or the left, to go after other gods to serve them. You know, again, I do believe parallels. I believe these parallels, and I hope in your life, as you read these things, as you look and consider your life, that you can see where you have been blessed in the field, in your job, that when you have gone out and have come in, when you've traveled, when you've gone places, that you've been blessed. You know, it says, the Lord cause thy enemies that rise up against thee be smitten, where you have faced opposition, that you felt that the Lord has been with you and has blessed you. Hopefully, you can look at your life and you can see those things. And what I hope that we consider today is, because we have been so richly blessed, that we consider what is required of us. You know, I don't think I wrote it down here, but you know, throughout the Old Testament here, you know, the Lord gives direction in how you offer things. You know, and when He's talking about bringing of the tithe, bringing of your first fruit, you know, I'm not going to find it here quickly. But you know, he tells them, he says, you know, you come and you bring that first fruit. He says, you bring it and you give it to the priest, he says, and you bring whatever it is, the first of what you've been blessed with. You bring it and you give it to the priest, and he'll wave it before the altar, and he'll offer it to the Lord. But then he says, but at the same time that you offer that, you come and you give sacrifice. You give sacrifice. I don't remember if it was a young goat or a young bullock that you were supposed to give at that time, but when you offered up something to the Lord, you also gave a sacrifice. You gave Him your first fruit and you gave a sacrifice. And you know, I think about that. Today, you know, we don't give a sacrifice. There's no lamb or bull that we slaughter before the altar as an indication of our heart or of the innocence of the Lord. We don't give that anymore, but there is a sacrifice that we are to give. You know, there is a sacrifice that we are to give. You know, when these people come before the Lord in those days and they offered up the first fruit, the best of what they had, they did it with sacrifice, and that was something that required preparation. The gift they gave to God was heartfelt and thought out. It was supposed to be. They didn't just come and hand it over and be done. They went and they gave and they worshiped and they sacrificed. They sacrificed. It was thought out. It was prepared. Something given with sacrifice. I want us to consider here, I want to turn to James in the first chapter. Here in James in the first chapter, I'm going to read verses 16 through 18. You know, before this, it's talking about man's temptation, and that when we sin, it's because we have chosen to. You know, it talked before that you know, God's not going to be tempted and all that, and he transitions from there into talking in these few verses about how we overcome sin, and I believe this, that we ought to consider this. It says this, verse 16, "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of His own will He begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creation." You know, I recognize this, that we see this pattern throughout the Scriptures, that God requires a first fruit. And Christ was the offering of God the Father, the first fruit of His creation, given for us. And Christ gave Himself. You know, we are, as the church, you know, one day He will offer up a spotless church. And it's spotless because He gave that gift with sacrifice, His own. And I hope that makes sense to you, what I just said, that we think about that. We are to be that best example of the blessing of the Lord. And I suppose that's something that's been on my heart lately. Am I? Is that me? Is that the person that I am? Am I the best example of the blessing of the Lord? Am I the best example of someone who has been washed in the blood of Christ and has committed myself to follow out Him? Well, I want us to consider here throughout Scripture as we recognize this. You know, Abraham, he paid tithes. He paid tithes. He gave of what he had. He gave it to Melchizedek. He paid tithes to him. We recognize also that Abraham was willing to give of his first son, as he was willing to sacrifice Isaac to give him, you know, the Lord who required something, the best from him. And we ought to consider that. What is the best that we have to offer to the Lord? I want to think about that here for a second. I've got notes all over my page here. Actually, I want to go to Proverbs in the third chapter. And I want to read here in the third chapter of Proverbs, I want to read verses 9 and 10. And I want us to consider that the gifts that we are to bring to the Lord should honor Him. So I want to read here in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. You know, the gifts that we are to bring. And so I kind of want to transition to give us to think. This isn't a sermon about tithing, although I feel it's vitally important. I believe that's something that we are to give the Lord. It's a commandment, and it's something that should be first and foremost on our mind when we get our paycheck, when we have an increase in our life, that we should give it. But I also want us to consider that every day truly is a gift from God. Every opportunity that we have to visit with someone truly is a gift from God. And an opportunity that we have to profess His name. Every time we come here and we sit down, we have an opportunity to offer up a gift from God. The first and the best of what we have to offer. God is honored by our gift, or at least He ought to be honored by our gift. You know, our presence here in this room should honor the Lord. It should be something that is given because it's important. You know, we choose to come here. We could be all sorts of places, but we choose to come here today. Are we giving, as we're here, of the best? You know, I said that a couple times. Let's do this. Let's turn to Numbers in the 18th chapter. And I keep saying that, giving of the best. And I want us to think about that for just a second. Numbers in the 18th chapter. You know, if we read in the Old Testament and we read about the law of Moses, we recognize that, you know, the people, they brought tithes. They brought of that first fruit. They brought those gifts and those offerings to the Lord. And a portion of them were given to the Levites. They were the ones who took care of. They were the priests. And they took care of the things that happened in the temple and the work of the Lord. And because that was their job, they weren't out there. They weren't given a possession of land or anything like that. And so the tithe that was given to the Lord was also used for their sustenance, to take care of them. But it wasn't like it was just theirs. And I want us to think about that real quick in Numbers in the 18th chapter, beginning in verse 25. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Thus speak unto the Levites, and say unto them, When you take of the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then ye shall offer up a heave offering of it for the Lord, even a tenth part of the tithe. So what they collected in from the tithe that the rest of the house of Israel came, a tenth part of that they gave to the Lord. And this your heave offering shall be reckoned unto you as though it were the corn of the threshing floor, as the fullness of the winepress. Thus shall ye offer a heave offering unto the Lord of all your tithes, which you receive of the children of Israel. And you shall give thereof the Lord's heave offering to Aaron the priest, and out of all your gifts you should offer the heave offering of the Lord, all of the best thereof, even the hallowed part thereof of it. You know, he makes this statement that what you are to give, what the Levites were to give, he says, you were to give to the Lord the best of it. That word, Strong's 2459, it says that word best. It says to be fat, hence the richest or the choicest part. The offering that they were to give to the Lord was supposed to be the best that they could offer. It wasn't supposed to be the old corn that was collected or something that was there at the end, the most choice. That was the offering that they were to give to the Lord, and I contend that that's the offering that we are to give to the Lord today. That we should be, you know, we sing the song, give of our best to the Master. The best, the most choicest thing, the most richest part. You know, as we come here, are you giving your best to the Lord? When we kneel down in prayer, are you giving the best of your attention? Are you giving the best of your meditation to the Lord? When you sit here and you listen to some man up here preaching, are you giving of your best to the Father? When you have an opportunity to serve the Lord, do you give Him your best? What you offer up, the first fruit of your day, of your life, of your energy, of your effort, is it the best that you're giving to the Lord? The offering. You know, I was thinking of this here. You know, what is an offering? An offering is something that we're not obligated to give. We don't have to give it, but we choose to do it. Your presence here, it's an offering to the Lord. Is it the best that you have to give Him? Or are you asking Him to settle for your inattention? Are you asking for Him to settle for your lack of preparation? When you offer up your tithing, are you doing it grudgingly? Is that your best? When someone asks for your assistance, when they want to speak with you, they have an issue or a problem, are you truly listening? Are you giving them your best? Do you give your tithing because you feel it's an obligation? It's what you've always done. Or do you consider that it is an offering, something that you are blessed to have, but you consider the Lord has given you of increase, and you give it, because you want Him to have the first and the best that you have to offer? When you're at work, do you give your best? You know, in Colossians, in the third chapter, in the 23rd verse, it says that we're supposed to do service, and it says, whatever we do, we're supposed to do it heartily as we do it to God. When you go to work, are you giving your employer your best? I think about that. So, I'm as a police officer, I'm back on patrol again. You know, the squad I came from was a squad that the previous one was a specialty that most people will never be able to get into. It requires a very motivated officer to go into it because you are supposed to be active the entire time you're there. And I really enjoyed it and I excelled at it. You know, now I'm back on patrol and, boy, there are so many guys who do as little as possible. There's a young man on my squad, and I've kind of tried to, as I thought about, the Lord's asked me to be a witness. And he's a young man, he's very immature, and I've been talking to him, and I've kind of trying to take him under my arm and to encourage him. You know, I've got just shy of 10 years on my department, and he's pretty young, and he's having some struggles with immaturity and things like that. You know, and he was frustrated the other day, and he says, you know, I'm just going to come here, and I'm just going to take the calls in my beat that I have to. I'm not going to do anything else. And I said, you know, Glenn, are you giving your best? You know, we don't have a responsibility to do the bare minimum. We don't have a responsibility to do just what's accepted of us. You know, in Romans, in the 12th chapter, in the first verse, it says that we're supposed to offer ourselves, well, we'll read it real quick and we know this, you probably don't even have to turn to it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I've thought about that word a lot. Reasonable. Reasonable. That word means tolerable, moderate, not excessive. Not excessive to give your whole body a sacrifice. You know, the Lord didn't call us to do the bare minimum. He asked us to give our best. Our best. You know, that was what the Lord was asking the people. It wasn't necessarily that you just take, you know, I harvest my field and all right, I'm going to divvy it out into tenths and I'll take this one. He wanted them to give the best of what they had to offer the Lord. Your first fruit. With your time. Do you offer up the time that you ought to have? You know, we recognize that we're all terminal. Andy talked to me about that the other day. We're all terminal. At some point, we're all going to die. We have a certain amount of time here. The time that we have, do we give what is acceptable to the Lord? And when we give it, do we give of our best? Are we spending time in Scripture? I struggle with that. I struggle with that. I have a hard time with that. Spending time in Scripture as I know I ought to. You know, I'm not giving the Lord the offering, the first fruit of my time. I'm not giving it like I should. And sometimes when I do, it's superficial. It's not the best I have to offer. And the Lord's not accepting of that. I don't believe it. I don't believe He is. What do we consider as worthy of our best offering to the Lord? Is our money, is our time, our work? Our service, our honest efforts of service, you know, do we give that? Are we looking for opportunities? You know, we just had an election of officers. Were you willing? Were you willing to be in the Lord's service? If not, were you giving of your best to the Father? Your talents. The talents that you have, are you willing to give that offering? Is it something that you're doing? When you do, are you giving it your best? You know, those things are an offering that we have to give to the Lord, that we are obligated because we've been blessed, because we've been richly blessed. My father-in-law, a couple years before he was my father-in-law, he was talking to me about a conversation he had with a brother who had received a great blessing, who had cancer and was blessed. And this young man asked him, he said, "What do I do to thank the Lord?" And he said, "Service. You give him your service." That's how we thank the Lord. We are obedient and we be in his service. Are you giving the Lord the thanks that is due to him for what you have been given? Do we truly serve? Do we offer up our whole self to do whatever the Lord wants? Do we put our heart into the matter that's before us? You know, I told you that I've been praying that this message, first off, will be for me and that it'll be placed in my heart, because I struggle with this. I have a hard time. You know, I want to be such a great servant to the Lord, and yet, you know, I struggle. But I've resolved this year that I'm going to make an earnest effort at doing these things, and I feel that we ought to do that. Well, let's turn to Exodus in the 25th chapter. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. The Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, and again, you know, I said that my Bible's got some titles to the chapters, and I don't really put a whole lot into it, but I think it's interesting. This is the offering for the tabernacle, what you give to the Lord. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. Of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering." You know, everybody who comes in to give an offering, that they are to give it willingly with their heart. That what they do for the Lord is to be from the heart. And as we talked about before, that it's to be the best that we have to offer. I want to turn now into the book of Mosiah, read a couple familiar verses here. In the first chapter, page 212, if you're following. Mosiah chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 48 and 49, very familiar verses, but maybe we consider this a little bit differently today. "Behold, I say unto you that because I said that I'd spent my days in your service, I don't desire to boast, for I've only been in the service of God. Behold, I tell you these things that you might learn wisdom, that you might learn that when you are in the service of your fellow beings, you are only in the service of your God." You know, that the service that the king here gave, you know, he did it because he knew that his service to his people, he wasn't just serving the people, he was serving God. And with that thought in his heart, he did it with his whole heart. It was his life's work to do that and to be pleasing to the Lord. I want to jump over to verse 57. He continues as he's talking to the people here, and he says this: "Now in the first place, he hath created you and hath granted unto you your lives, for which you are indebted unto him. Secondly, he doth require that you should do as he commanded him, that you should do as he commanded you, for which, if you do, he doth immediately bless you. Therefore, he hath paid you." Have we ever experienced that? I know I've found this to happen in my life, where I've been going through my day or something, and there before me became the problem. It was right in my lap, and I had a choice to make. Do I do what the Lord has asked me to do? Or do I turn away from it and take the easy road out? And I found so often that you know, when I am faced with that problem, with that temptation, with that challenge right before my face, and I choose to follow the Lord's commandments, and I say or I do what the Lord's asked me to, I feel an immediate blessing. An immediate blessing I feel it. And I contend that when you find those places in your life, whether it's financially or whether it's in a situation with a coworker or ever, when you feel that blessing, you're obligated to give thanks. You're obligated to give of a first fruit and honor the Lord as He blessed you. Whether it's audibly in telling that person or vocalizing it in that situation or bowing your head in prayer, but that you offer up a first fruit of thanksgiving for what the Lord has done for you, for the blessing that you had. 59, and you are still indebted unto Him and are and will be forever and ever. Therefore, of what have you to boast? Now I ask, can you say aught of yourselves? I answer you, nay. You know, can we say anything of ourselves? I haven't created this life that I have. I've simply been someone who from time to time has allowed the Lord to move and work within it. I can't say anything of myself. I recognize that even the best efforts I have to give until I lay down this mortal body will not be enough to adequately thank the Lord for what He's done for me. But I have a responsibility to try. And that in everything that I do, that I offer up my best to the Lord. I want to turn to Moroni in the 7th chapter. Page 765. No. Page 763. Begin in verse 4. It says, now my brethren, I judge these things of you because of your peaceable walk with the children of men. For I remember the word of God, which saith, by their works you shall know them. And if their works be good, then they are good also. For behold, God hath said, a man being evil cannot do that which is good. For if he offereth a gift or prayeth unto God, except he shall do it with real intent, it profiteth him nothing. For behold, it's not counted unto him for righteousness. For behold, if a man being evil giveth a gift, he doeth it grudgingly. Wherefore, it is counted unto him the same as if he hath retained the gift. Wherefore, he is counted evil before God. I just want us to consider this for a second. You know, what is a gift? A gift is something that's given. It's not obligated. You know, my children have birthdays or things like that. I don't have to give them a present. It's not something I have to do. I choose to. I don't have to give them my tithing. It's not something the Lord isn't standing at my door or the keeper of my check and takes some off the top every time I get it. It's a gift. I choose to do it. I'm not forced. Nobody anymore drags me to church. I choose to walk myself in here, to sit down, to open my scriptures. It's a gift of my time. When someone, one of my brothers and sisters, wants to speak with me, I'm not obligated to listen. I choose to do, though, and I give them the gift of my sincere efforts. When there's something to be done, you know, I'm not obligated to do my job at work. Of course, if I don't do it, I'm not going to have a job, but I can do the minimum if I want to. You know, my time, my efforts, all those things are gifts. It's nothing I'm obligated to do. The Lord says here that if we're doing something and it's not with our real intent, it's as if we had not even done it. You know, I consider that. You know, sometimes, you know, now that I'm not here on Wednesday nights, I feel it a whole lot more. You know, there were times when I get home from work on a Wednesday and I'm tired and I'm exhausted. And I think, I just do not want to go to church tonight. I'm just tired. It's not that I don't like church. It's not that I'm just tired. You know, sometimes I confess that I'd come here and the gift of my time and my attendance, it was given grudgingly. Adam, you're a minister in this church. Adam, you're an assistant pastor here. Adam, you have to be a good example for your kids. And so I would come, and it was not something that I gave freely. It wasn't the best I had to offer. And I've had to repent of that because I recognize that in itself is a sin. The Lord asks for our best. And if we give something, that we give Him our best. That what we have to offer, it is something that is able to honor the Lord if we give it in that proper way. I'm just going to read real quickly 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. What we give, we should do it, not because we have to, not because it's necessity, but because we have a desire. And that we recognize that in everything we do, we are able to honor God. We are able to honor God. I'm going to follow Gary's lead, and I'm going to preach a sermon under an hour. That wasn't my intention, but not that I intend to preach for any specific amount of time anyway, but I'm going to be done here with this last scripture. I want you to turn, as I close and give my closing thoughts here, to Alma in the 16th chapter. It's page 409. I'm going to read verses 9 and 10, and I just want to, this scripture kind of, it's just the way, maybe it's because I'm not feeling good, maybe the way I read this last night. No, it's not that. It makes sense. But I was interested. I was touched by some words that were said here in these two verses. And, you know, this is talking about the law of the land at that time, that they didn't force anybody to believe anything. Nobody was forced to do it. But there's something that's said here that I think that we should consider as we go into this year, as we consider the offering that we have to give, that I believe we are obligated to give, not only of our money, but of our time, of our service, of our job, of our talents. Verse 9, for thus saith the Scripture, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. Verse 10, now if a man desired to serve God, it was his privilege. Or rather, if he believed in God, it was his privilege to serve him. And I'm going to stop there because the rest of it just is talking about how that, you know, if a guy didn't believe in God, it was all right at that time. They weren't going to punish him for it. But it says, if a man desired to serve God, it was his privilege. It was his privilege to do it. You know, that was the way that they termed it. It was a privilege to know of God. It was a privilege to be blessed of God. Consider this. You know, in the 6,000 or so years that this old world has been around, and how many countless numbers of people there have been who have lived and died never knowing. How blessed we are to be here. I think about that. You know, I think the last time I preached, I talked about that. The choices, or I said in a testimony, the choices that were made. You know, one person makes a choice that leads to another choice, that leads to another choice. That brings us here, that brought me here, because a choice was made years and years ago. You know, because a choice was made and something happened that brought my mother from California out here to Arizona. You know, my parents came together and I was born. And all the times I could have been born and all the places and all that, the Lord put me here and now. And it's my privilege to be here. It's my privilege to stand here. It's my privilege to know of Jesus Christ. It's my privilege, and we should consider it to be a privilege. We are privileged. We are blessed. The Lord has called us His peculiar, His special people. And He has blessed us beyond all measure. You know, just like we read in that first reading in Deuteronomy, the 26th chapter, you know, we look at our lives. The Lord has taken us from a time of separation, a time of sin, a time of difficulty. And I hope you can see where He has brought you to blessing. And now consider what it is that you are obligated to offer Him. Do you give of the best to Him? The first fruits of your effort, the best, do you give it? Can we resolve this year to make a better effort at that? That certainly is what's on my heart. And I hope that you would consider that this day. I thank you for your time and your attention, and I hope that God continues to bless us abundantly as He has. Thank you.